Our scripture reading today, our first one, is from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Our second reading is from John chapter 6, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Please, God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Sorry, I get carried away in prayer, and I was like, okay, wait, where am I at? Because I was really caught up in the prayer. So as I mentioned, I'm going to be doing some fun facts for the next couple of weeks. We have one more week after this one. And I found these fascinating, so I hope that they are fascinating to you. As I said, Lori went and found the colleges that these founding fathers, they're in our list. There's a list of colleges in your brochure, your bulletin this morning, that these founding fathers, they found it back in the 1800s. So there are two, father and son today, Thomas Campbell and Alexander Campbell, and they were founding fathers, and they were founding fathers of the disciples. Now, last week, Barton Stone was founding, they all came together, but he was more of the Church of Christ or Christian church, the Christian, so that's what they called them. Thomas Campbell, from 1763 to 1854, Thomas Campbell, an Irishman of Scottish descent, immigrated from Ireland to Pennsylvania in 1807, seeking religious freedom and unity among Christians. After graduating from the University of Glasgow, he was ordained as a Presbyterian minister in the United States. He became influential in the Second Great Awakening, the Protestant Revival Movement. Campbell authorized the famous Declaration and Address in 1809, which became a foundational text for the Disciples of Christ movement and resulted in the suspension of his credentials by the Presbyterian. They went through a lot of things to be founding fathers. He believed in open communion, baptism by immersion, and breaking down denominational barriers among Christians. The Christian Association, which he led, eventually formed a congregational governed church in Brush Run, Pennsylvania, becoming known as the Brush Run Church. Campbell's famous slogan is, "Where the scripture speaks, we speak. Where the scriptures are silent, we are silent." The early founders of Thomas Campbell were known as Campbellites. So that's Thomas Campbell. Now, his son was Alexander Campbell, and he actually did quite a bit in the disciples, quite a bit in their movement. Alexander Campbell was born 1788 to 1866. Alexander Campbell was the son of Thomas, was a preacher, writer, and debater who grew to be an influential religious leader in his own right, which he did. I'm just for a second aside that I found really fascinating about him was that he really was a great debater. He debated everything and everyone. Seems like everything we're reading, he was debating. He stood for what he stood for. So Alexander continued the work of his father, going on to become one of the leaders of the Restoration Movement, also known as the Stone Campbell movement, for over five decades. So that was Barton Stone we talked about last week, and Alexander. They had a movement together. Alexander settled in Bethany, West Virginia, where he served as the town's first postmaster in 1840. He founded Bethany College, which became an important center for education in the movement. This college is the oldest institution of higher learning in West Virginia and is still active today. So that's one of the colleges that your Thanksgiving offering will go towards. Campbell published the Christian Baptist and later the Millennial Harbinger. Both were influential periodicals promoting Disciples of Christ ideas. He engaged in famous debates with religious leaders of other denominations, advocating for restoration of New Testament Christianity. Campbell and early disciples refused to speak the Lord's Prayer. Now, I found this very interesting. They refused to speak the Lord's Prayer, even if they were in the company of groups of worshipers from another tradition who were citing it. Campbell claimed that the prayer, as indicated by the part that prays, "Thy kingdom come," was literally answered 3 years after it was presented. Campbell prayed instead to enlarge the kingdom. So he wouldn't pray the Lord's Prayer. He felt like when Jesus came, it was answered. So he wouldn't pray it again. But that was just his point of view. But any comments? Anybody know anything about Alexander Campbell? Campbell? Anything? Anybody ever heard of him? Heard about him? Now we know. All right. That's it for our moment. Thank you. Thank you for putting up with me for that. But it is interesting, and it's nice to know where you come from and why you worship where you do. So I found it very interesting. All right. Time for my sermon. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this sermon. I thank you, God. You are a wonderful and amazing God. I ask that you bless those who are listening by podcast, Lord, that they feel a part of this sermon. God, that you would meet them, too, at their very point of need. I give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'll say Happy Veterans Day again. And that's kind of where my sermon came from today. Freedom in Jesus. I usually talk about my mom a lot, but today I'm going to talk about my dad. He was in the Army, and he passed away on the 15th of November. So he was really in my mind this morning. It's just a few days away. And so I started thinking, well, Dad, I'm going to include you today because I always talk about Mom. But he was a special man to be married to my mom, who was in ministry, and to be such a supporter of her. But his story, his Army story, we heard all the time. So we heard that Army story all the time. All you had to do was say military. If you say military, he would go into that Army story. I know that he served in Europe. I know that he went to Spain and that he went to San Sebastian, and he would have a list. He had it memorized. And so even when he started to show signs of Alzheimer's, he never forgot that. That time in the military was so important to him. It was just such a precious memory, because it's the one thing that really stayed no matter what he went through. He kept that memory, and he would tell us, oh yes, I served in the Army, and he would give us his rank and class. And it was funny, because the longer he was in Alzheimer's, the higher his rank would go. And so he was like, we'd be like, wait a minute, that's not what you said last time, you know, but you go with it. Oh, were you, Dad? You were a general in the Army? Oh my goodness. And so, but he loved that time. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, why does he remember, you know, this thing, but not so much of the other? And I started to think about that freedom that he felt when he was in the military. He was there very young. I want to say 20s. He's probably in his 20s when he went, his first time away from home. And, you know, that freedom that you feel when you get to that time, that first time you get away from home, mom and dad, and, you know, all of that freedom that you feel. And it made me just think of our sermon today. Just like the military, they fought for our freedom. They fought that we could be free. That's what Jesus came to do as well. He came that we could be free. Free from what? Free from the guilt and shame we feel when we do wrong, because he's a God that forgives. He saves and he forgives. And so he came that we could be free and have freedom and walk in freedom from that. Freedom from those thoughts that chase you down. You know, like I talked about last week, when the enemy tries to bring those negative thoughts. But Jesus came that we could be free from those, that we don't have to give in to those negative thoughts. And what's so funny, over this last week, I had so many calls of people saying, it feels like the enemy is telling me I'm not going to make it. And, you know, I'm like, well, that's what I preached on Sunday. And then I would tell it to him again. I'd preach it to him again, you know. But he came that we could be free from that, free from that hounding, that feeling of that you're not enough, that you're not good enough, that you can't please God. No, Jesus came that we might be free. And so I found a couple of scriptures that kind of go together. So I put them both. Only one's going to appear on the screen, but I wrote them both in. Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Now, this was written in Isaiah, but then Jesus came. And in Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He came to fulfill this scripture. Jesus came to give us freedom. He said, freedom for the captives. What are you captive of? Your thoughts. when the enemy tries to tell you you'll never be good enough, when he tries to tell you God doesn't love you. Has anyone ever experienced that? Oh, God, I did that. I know there's no way God could love me after that. Have we? But no, he came that we might be free. And so we have freedom in Jesus. He came that we might be free from those thoughts, from when the enemy tries to discourage you. Have you ever struggled with something that took a while to get over? Every time you think, oh, I'm over that, he bring it back to your thoughts. Something you've done, you know, it could be anything. You know, I know a lot of people, they suffer from, maybe they've gone through divorce. And then they feel like they can't go forward. You know, and that's just one thought that popped in my head right here. So maybe it's touching someone. I don't know. But it popped in my head. But he came that you might be free from those thoughts. That you can't move forward. No matter what it is you've done. No matter what it is. You can't move forward. You can, because Jesus came that we might be free. He just said to set the captive free. To free from oppressed. That's that spirit that tells you can't do it. That tells you won't make it. That tells you you're not good enough. That tells you, nope, after that. No one's going to love you after you did that. No. Or something that you did and it haunts you. It stays in your head. Every time you think you're free, it keeps coming back. Oh, I remember when I did that. Oh, it could have been something you did as a young person. Could have been something you did yesterday. It truly could. But he came that you might be free, released from those things that try to break your spirit, to try to discourage you, to oppress you. That's what he said. I came that you might not be oppressed, to break that spirit of oppression. And all, by oppression, I just mean it's that thing that tries to hold you down, hold you back, keep you, tell you you're not good enough to serve God. You're not good enough to do his will. You're not good enough to go out and pray for people or whatever it is that you're doing. You're not good enough to speak that. No, he came that you would be free from that. And it could be so many things. I'm trying to stay safe and not touch on everything, but it could be so many things that hinder you. And that is a perfect word, that hinder you from being all that God has called you to be. It's that thing that stops you from walking into his fullness, walking into the fullness of God and all that he's called you to be. He came that you might be free from that. You can walk in freedom. But you can walk in freedom and joy and knowing that that you're good enough, but more than that, that you're God's, that you're his. So if you're his, you're good enough. Amen. You're fine because you're in him. He came to give you that freedom. Our next scripture is John 8:31-32. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We've heard that scripture so often. But he says, if we walk in him, you'll know the truth. You're walking in the truth. The truth's going to set you free. You're walking in him. The key to me for that scripture is that you know him, that you're walking with him, that you get up every day and you spend time with him. He's going to reveal all truths to you. So when the enemy tries to tell you, you can't make it, or even that you can't forgive, you know, forgiveness is a really big issue. It's a really big issue for all of us. But it's a really big issue that stops you from going and being all that you can be, to being all that God has called you to be, to reaching all that you need to reach. Unforgiveness is a really big key. And so when he holds that, the enemy holds that unforgiveness, you see them and you get mad. You think about it all over again. You see that person that you just can't seem to forgive. But he's come to free you from that. From walking in that, because they are fine. They are living their life. They are on a cruise, sitting on the beach, having a drink, and you're still mad and holding that against them. And he came that you might be free from that, that you might be free from that unforgiveness, that spirit that stops you from being all that you can be. You can't be free if every time you see them, you get angry. If every time you see him, the whole thing replays. And then she stepped on my foot. And then whatever it is, I'm being silly, but whatever it is that someone may have done to you, you have to be able to let it go. And he came that we could be free and walk in that. That's what he came for. We can go to him. God, please forgive me. Please help me. Help me to release that, to let that go so that I can walk in freedom. And when you walk in that freedom, you have all truth. That's what he said. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what the truth is. It's Jesus. The truth is, you don't have to walk in that unforgiveness. You don't have to walk in that guilt and shame. Sometimes we walk in that, and it'll hold you back from all that God has for you to be. It'll hold you back from receiving all that he has. You won't even be able to receive the love that he has for you and that others have for you, because you've got a guard up because of all that you've been through. But he came that you can be free, so that you can be free and receive what he has for you. Receive all the love that he has. Remember I talked a few weeks back about that? Give him some love. Go ahead. Receive all that love he has for you and that others have for you. You can walk in that freedom. That's what Jesus came for, that we can walk in that freedom. All we have to do is seek him out. Ask him, Lord, help me to let this go. Help me to be free from this thing that's holding me down, that's stopping me, that reoccurring nightmare that keeps coming back, that won't let you forget something that happened in your past. It's your past. You'll be free from that. And I'm almost done today, guys. Guys are kind of quiet on me today, but 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom in his Spirit. There's freedom in him. And that's all I'm trying to get across. Your freedom, it comes from God. It comes from getting in his word, spending time with him, and you'll start to feel like, well, I'm worthy of this love that he's giving me. Understand? Does that make sense? That he's, when you're in his presence, you can be free from all of those things that hold you down, that stop you from being all that he's called you to be, all that you want to be. And I can't, because if it's fear, whatever it is that stops you from going forward, whatever it is, because I know unforgiveness is a big one, but fear is as well. Fear says, I can't do it. I can't. But you can, in the freedom of God, you can. You can do whatever it is that you're dreaming, desiring to do. Whatever your hopes are, whatever your dreams are, you can walk into that because you're free in Jesus. That's what it says. That's what his word just says. He bring where he's at, you're free. Wherever the Lord is, you're freedom. You're walking in that freedom. So I want to encourage you today. Just like our soldiers helped for us to all be free. Just how my dad felt free when he was able to get away from home and walk into walk into life and experience a newness of life. When you walk in the Lord, when you walk in his Spirit, when you trust him, freedom comes. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom, freedom to let go of those things that are hindering you, that are stopping you from going and doing. I need to just take to help me realize if I'm on the right track or not today, because you guys are a little quiet for me. But is someone here, there's something that stops you from doing all that you want to do? Is there something it'll say, no, you can't do that. Oh, you're too old. Oh, you're too young. Oh, you can't walk that long. Oh, is there something that hinders you and stops you from doing everything you want to do? Nobody, you guys are, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you. See? Yeah, so see, there's freedom in that, because he goes with you. I'm not saying do it or don't do it. I'm just saying he sets us free from those fears that stop us from doing all that he's called us to do. That's why I say yes. When people ask me to do things, the things that scare me the most, yes. Yes. Because I know there's freedom in God. It's going to happen. We're going to all experience it. But the freedom is in God, that when you walk in him, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He says, I'm going to be with you always, even until the very end. That's where our freedom comes. It's walking in him and trusting him that he wouldn't leave us. He would not leave us. Amen. He will not leave us. Final scripture. John 8:36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. When the Son sets you free, the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God, when Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. So don't go back. Don't go back and pick that up, whatever that hindrance is. Don't pick it back up. Once you're free, stay free. How do you do that? Staying in his word, staying in his presence, getting his word, making it be a part of you, getting up in the morning, having coffee with him. You know, you may have it by yourself. Well, this time, invite Jesus to join you. Tell the Holy Spirit, we're having coffee this morning. Get in his presence and spend that time with him. And you'll feel free. You'll get that freedom from him. There's freedom in Jesus. There's freedom in him. And that's what I want to encourage you today. There's freedom in him. So who he sets free, you're free indeed. Stay free. That's all I'm saying. Stay free. Don't go back. Don't go pick it back up again. You know, have you ever felt like, oh, God really helped me, but then you go right back to it. You go back and pick it right up again. He really blessed me. I feel so great. And by the end of the day, you're picking it back up. Well, maybe I can help him a little bit. He doesn't need our help. Amen. He does not need our help. When he sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Amen. I'm done. I'm done today. I just thank God. I thank God for all of you, but I thank him for that freedom. I thank him. It's a path that we walk. It's not something that happens overnight. You just keep walking that path and trusting him in that freedom. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today. I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. You are worthy and a wonderful God. So amazing, so wonderful, so concerned with all that concerns us. So today, I just lift up each member here today. I ask that you would meet them, each one, at the very point of need, exactly what they are needing today, the request they have before you. God, I thank you. I thank you that you will meet them, that you will meet them in the morning for coffee. You will meet them on their walk. Lord, wherever they are, you will meet them right there. And I just give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. And I do pray and lift up our prayer list again, God, each one, especially the family of Kate, those four children, Lord, you would bless and be a comfort to them. And I thank you for it. And all of our homebound and care center residents, God, you will be their peace at this time. I thank you and give you praise. And Lord, we pray for all of those, God, who maybe have lost services. We ask that you would bless those people, God, that you would meet their need, that they would not go hungry, God, that their needs will be met, their financial needs will be met, those who may be laid off. And Lord, our whole government system right now, we lift it up to you. We ask that you would be in the midst of it, God, that you would work it out, that you would bring it all together. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. Nothing is too hard for you. You're not unaware of what's going on. And so we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your hands are in it. Your hands are in it, and you're working it all together for good for each and every one of us. We give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.